So why ashes? What is this service about? A bit later in this service, you'll have an opportunity to receive Holy Communion and to have an imposition of ashes, as anointing oil and palm leaf ashes are combined to make the sign of the cross on your forehead. And as I said earlier, this Ash Wednesday service is one we often do in contemporary poem and metaphor, but this year we've chosen to stay close to the service for worship for Ash Wednesday in the United Methodist Book of Worship, and that's what you've heard along the way. And in that service, there are two suggestions for what Chad and I might say as we make the sign of cross on your forehead this evening. The first is, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And the second is, repent and believe the gospel. And each of those points to an aspect of what ashes represent, and Chad and I are each going to take a part of that. Remember that you are dust. Ashes were an ancient symbol of our humanity, the spent fuel that has been clarified by fire. In Genesis, we read that God formed human beings out of the dust of the earth. The Hebrew word translated dust is occasionally translated ashes elsewhere. When you think about dust, my gardener brain kicks in, and dust is soil, which is alive and living with organic matter and microbes, and dust is soil with all of the life out of it. Ashes are fuel with all of the energy and life burnt out. When Abraham felt the need to acknowledge the difference between him, a human being, and the infinite God, he referred to himself as dust and ashes. Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, he said, I who am but dust and ashes. And to dust you shall return, the other part of that phrase. Our humanity reminds us that God has breathed breath into us, but it also calls us to mind our mortality. After expulsion from the Garden of Eden, the first human beings are told by God, you are dust, and to dust you shall return, in Genesis 3. We know the day is coming for each of us when we will return to dust. We wear black as a sign of mourning. Ancient people wore ashes. For example, Mordecai puts on sackcloth and ashes to grieve the many deaths he sees coming from an order a king gives to kill the Jewish people. The prophet Jeremiah later calls the people of God to roll in ashes as a way of mourning the coming devastation from an opposing army in Jeremiah. Receiving the imposition of ashes is a powerful way to confront our humanity and our mortality. They remind us that we are not God, but God's good creation. In them, we recognize our bodies will not last forever and come face to face with the reality of our eventual death. I don't know quite why we seem to keep forgetting that we're mortal. There are reminders in our community, in our world daily. We observe the seasons of life in our faith community. Our bodies remind us from time to time that we are mortal and frail. It's just not our favorite piece of human knowledge, is it? We don't want to remember that people that we love are mortal. Loss is painful, and missing people is hard. When I think of my own mortality, I find myself remembering a line from one of my favorite movies, Michael. And in the movie, an archangel Michael is experiencing his last trip on Earth. This movie imagines that he gets a set number, and he's on his last one. And at one point, he's sitting on a log, watching a sunset with his dog, Sparky, and he just sighs and says, "I'm going to miss it here. And my human mortality is like that for me. I hope that people will miss me, but I know I'm going to miss it here." And I'm a stage 3 cancer survivor. I just marked my 13th survivor date a couple of weeks ago. But I can honestly say that marking, honoring, remembering that anniversary feels a bit different now than it did in year 1, in year 3, in year 5. I know enough not to take this incredible gift of life for granted, but I still do. I sweat the small stuff. I misplace this does my really matter meter and marker. I don't take enough time for the people and things that are most life-giving to me. In many ways, I believe that this forgetting, this taking for granted of the one wild and precious life that we have, this incredible gift from God, is one of the greatest sins that I can commit. And so it's into this season of repentance that I enter.
The second phrase offered when we do the imposition of ashes is repent and believe the gospel. It is a call for us to remember who Jesus is, what Jesus taught, how Jesus died, the miracle of the resurrection, and to remember that none of this is only historical, but also a present reality. Lent is a time for self-examination, checking the places in our lives where we are either forgetting or resisting our dependence upon God for all we are and all we have. It is for this forgetting, this resisting, that we repent. More and more, the world we live in is turning away from God. Lent is a call to repentance for the many ways that we have allowed the world we live in to creep into our living witness to the God we live for. In our repentance, we turn to the world and turn to the Word and find therein the Word that was from the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that is God in flesh, and are called once again to believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Gospels. Ashes signify that we are dust, that we are mortal, but they also signify our sorrow for the mistakes that we have made. People in ancient times wore sackcloth and ashes as a way of expressing their repentance for their sins. When Jonah reluctantly preached to the people of Nineveh after the giant fish spit him onto the beach, the king and his people put on sackcloth and sat in ashes as a sign of their repentance. God saw this act of repentance and spared them. Daniel donned sackcloth and sat in ashes and prayed when he received a vision from the Lord about the desolation of Israel that would last 70 years. In his prayer, which takes up much of Daniel chapter 9, the prophet confesses on behalf of Israel for their unfaithfulness, their disobedience, and for ignoring the word of the Lord received through previous prophets. Recognizing these acts of repentance and the contrition with which they are offered, God sends Gabriel in a vision who appears to Daniel and relieves him of his deep grief over the fate of the people of God. Jesus mentions this practice only once. And the account appears both in Matthew and Luke. Jesus has been performing miracles around the region of Galilee, and some of the towns he had witnessed repented and believed, and others had not. Hear these words from Matthew 11, verses 20 and 21. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. When we participate in Ash Wednesday services, we are confronted by our sin. We acknowledge the fact that we do not live up to the standards set before us and recognize our utter dependence upon God for forgiveness and redemption. We wear the sign of the cross in ashes on our foreheads as a reminder to ourselves and others that we are sinners seeking God's grace and forgiveness. As we see the sign in the mirror, we are reminded that God keeps God's promises. We're reminded that forgiveness comes through the grace offered in God's own Son. When we hear the words repent and believe the gospel, we remember all God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who through His great sacrifice provides redemption and healing to wholeness and peace. God has done all this completely out of God's love for us. We cannot earn it. We cannot ever repay our debt. When we live into our forgiveness by showing others the grace we have been shown, we do so as witness to God's grace in our own lives. When we don't extend grace in response to the grace we have been given, we are sinning against God in the most grievous way. Believing the gospel means that we understand our need for forgiveness, God's grace in doing the forgiving, and our role in sharing grace with those around us. We do not wear ashes as a badge or a sign telling others how good we are. On the contrary, the sign of ashes on our foreheads should give us pause to check our egos, to check our self-righteousness, and to acknowledge how badly we need the grace and forgiveness offered through Jesus Christ. As we enter this season of Lent, we will receive the sign of the cross on our foreheads, hearing the words, from ashes you have come, to ashes you will return, or hearing the words, repent and believe the gospel. No matter which you hear at the time that you are receiving your ashes, remember that the ashes mean both. Remember your mortality. Remember that your time on this earth is short, but a flash. Repent and believe the message in the gospel. In order to believe it, we probably need to read it. Maybe a Lenten discipline for you this year is to crack the Gospels and read them. Pick one. If you've not read them before, pick John. Think it's the easiest, most accessible of the Gospels. If you got John down, maybe Matthew. Maybe Luke. choose a gospel and make your way through that which we are called to believe this season.